Just like that, the final hour is here. Outkick 360 Wednesday edition. Live on Radio Row, Super Bowl 57. And per my request, Chad has moved over next to me. Thank you, Chad.
Hutton, I felt so distant from you this entire show, so I thought no better way to kick off the final hour on our first day here in Phoenix than sliding basically into your lap for this segment. We kid. Well, not really. I did want to be closer to Hutton, but we've got two, not one, but two great guests headed our way here within any minute. So had to make way for Kyle Turley and Jim McMahon, who will be joining us shortly. And I get to get closer to Jonathan Hutton.
That's right. Some great stories headed your way here on the show. Plus, LeGarrette Blount will join us coming up this hour as well. Michael Irvin has been pulled off of the Super Bowl 57 coverage for NFL Network after a report of misconduct towards a woman. And this happened at the hotel. He says he isn't sure what he did wrong to get pulled from there. He said, honestly, I'm a bit baffled with it all. But the report, according to the Dallas Morning News, a woman at Irvin's hotel made a complaint about the Hall of Famer following an encounter with him on Sunday. Not exactly clear what happened, at least as of yet, but in a statement to the Dallas Morning News, NFL Network says Michael Irvin will not be part of the NFL Network's Super Bowl 57 week coverage.
Crazy story.
Have you noticed that NFL Network doesn't have a big presence here? They don't have the big set here this year.
Yeah, I did notice that. And they must be by the stadium.
No, I think they're in L.A. I think they stayed in L.A.
Really?
Yes.
That shocks me, especially being as close as we are.
I agree.
To L.A. right now in Phoenix. It's a weird story. I'd feel like you'd kind of, even if you didn't agree with someone, you know, canceling you on the broadcast, you'd sort of know, okay, this is what I said that would have caused this, right?
Well, so Irvin said, we shook hands, then I left, that's all I know. Honestly, I'm a bit baffled with it all. This all happened in a 45-second conversation in the lobby. When I got back after going out, I came to the lobby, I talked to somebody, I talked to this girl, I don't know her, and I talked to her for about 45 seconds. That to the Dallas Morning News via Michael Irvin. We haven't heard the end of this.
But the girl in the lobby worked for NFL Network?
No.
Is she an employee? No?
No. She just filed a complaint with the hotel saying that something happened as at the hotel he was staying at Sunday.
That's interesting. Yeah, I feel like you'd know what went down. He's probably not telling us the full extent of the story, but that's bad news for Michael Irvin. And it is crazy that you're right. I'm kind of looking around the room here at Radio Row, and I do not see what normally is a huge NFL Network setup for their every television show they have on. So we don't have that presence this year. Hutton, do you think that Jalin Hyatt is going to have presence in the first round of the NFL draft?
Yes. Well, yes, if he runs what he says he's going to run.
4.29.
4.29, which he wants to be sub 4.3, because that puts him in a category with possibly maybe one, two other receivers in the draft. And there's usually only one, right?
Yeah.
If you're running that, you have, and you're a second round grade, high second round grade, you're into the first round just based on your traits and the speed alone. Because you pair that with what he did as the Biletnikoff Award winner, regardless of size, if you've got that speed to what he told us earlier, it doesn't really matter about his size if he's going to. What did he say? You got to catch me first.
Yeah, I asked
4.29 proves that statement.
Yeah, we went through.
Is he that fast?
He's fast.
I know he's fast.
4.29. I don't know.
Chris Johnson fast, which is 4.28.
He was a world class sprinter in high school. I know in the state of South Carolina. I don't know that he's that fast. He is training here in Scottsdale.
Yes.
So he told us off air he's doing all of his training here. If he runs that, he's going to be a first round pick. And I threw the things out that I think, look, if I'm a GM and I'm thinking about investing a first-round pick on Jalin Hyatt, what do I want to know about? Are you too small? Mm-hmm. You know, are you going to respond to press coverage you're going to get in the NFL? And then the whole thing about, you're honest about it, but why? Why did you not work as hard the previous year? Why was there a disconnect with Josh Heupel and then suddenly a light switch went on and it worked? And while that one year was terrific, and he was the Biletnikoff Award winner, why just the one year? You know, is this going to be a consistent thing with you now that you're going to show up and work this hard? I believe the guy. You know, I have no reason not to. He was very believable.
Genuine.
Yeah, you know, we talked with Kayvon Thibodeau a year ago, and what was our big takeaway? I don't know if the guy, if this is a work and the guy's playing us, or if this is like play acting or what's happening. I didn't feel that way with Jalin Hyatt. I felt like he was being very real and honest about what he did at Tennessee to not work as hard the previous year.
Turns out Thibodeau was being real, though, based on his performance.
I think he was.
But the difference was he came – there was an arrogance about Kayvon Thibodeau that we questioned because, I mean, the guy already was sizing up his Pro Football Hall of Fame jacket, as he said here on Radio Row, before he was even drafted.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's why I believe we questioned him more than your typical top five pick. But he backed it up with the Giants.
No, he did in his rookie year, no doubt. And I think Jalin Hyatt's going to back it up. If I had to guess right now, what is Jalin Hyatt going to be as an NFL player? He's going to be really good. I mean, I saw enough this year, and there was a lot of promise even when he got to Tennessee. He didn't really deliver on that early on. It was because of a bad offense under Jeremy Pruitt. But then once it clicked, I see every little thing I need to see from him. And in terms of a guy who can just blow the top off a defense, he is that. Now, is he going to be on every level of the secondary receiver consistently in the NFL? He's got to get to that. I don't know that right now, that he's going to be that in day one. But he's a guy right now who can burn a defense. I think right when he gets the NFL, he's going to be that guy.
So here's the question I would have to ask if I'm just comparing the two wide receivers from Tennessee that are in this draft at the top. Jalin Hyatt and Tillman. Tillman feels like a guy that's going to be very consistent week in and week out, that's going to give you the same type of production across the board. Hyatt feels like he's going to give you a monster performance in about six games in a season. Is that fair?
Like, no, I think that's fair.
Size, speed, again, breakaway speed, game-breaker type talent. Tillman feels more like the possession guy that's going to move the chains. He's better than that, but move the chains and be one of the go-to players for your quarterback. And he's not being talked about nearly enough or to the same extent because he's not going to run the same type of speed. But given the traits, to me, I'd rather have the guy that's going to be there week in and week out that you're going to be able to count on instead of the – not flash of the pan – but the guy that's going to show up once a month.
Look, odds are one of these guys will not work out based on potential. And I just say that with any team. There's not a lot of teams in college football that produce two NFL stars at one position, right, that play at the same time, come out in the same year. Maybe Ohio State's got a little bit of that receiver, you know, right now with what they've done in the NFL. But you're not typically going to have that. I do think, though, so I say all that to say, you know, it feels like both these guys are going to be good. I think Tillman's going to be a steal for someone. He seems like a late second, third round pick.
Yes.
To me, a second day pick that is going to absolutely hit for someone. But just based on his size, he's got some speed too. He doesn't have, you know, world-class speed like Jalin Hyatt, but he's going to be a difference maker for someone. And he can high point the ball.
Yeah.
He can make the combat catches like Coach Mack talks to us about.
And he wants the ball in the big moment. You know, that's the other trait that you have to be able to find if you're the general manager, diamond in the rough, so to speak, late rounds. He wants the ball. He's not afraid of the moment in any respect. Hendon Hooker, their quarterback, we chatted with him earlier today. We'll get to that tomorrow. But as promised, joined at our broadcast site, Kyle Turley, Jim McMahon, sit down with us. Kyle, are you still in Nashville?
Yeah, just moved back there about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago now.
Nice. Taxes, right? Taxes are better there. That's
nah,
one good
schools.
Reason.
I got middle school kids.
Oh, nice.
We were in California, so, you know, had to get out of there.
Still shredding a guitar?
Yeah, playing some music, you know, just doing my thing, hopefully. We'll see what happens with it. You never know.
Welcome, guys. Jim,
hey,
welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here. Thanks.
Tell us what you're up to and why you're partnered together today.
Well, we're our company, Revenant. We're trying to get our message out about this plant being a medicinal herb, not a drug, and we're trying to get the NFL to stop testing for it. You know, instead of these guys getting fed handfuls of pills, let them use something that's actually going to help their bodies. And the pills, all they do is mask pain, whereas cannabis actually helps with inflammation. It's the only patented neuroprotectant on the planet. And so we should be using this. We have a cannabinoid system in our bodies for this plant. We're supposed to be using it.
Am I right in thinking that they still test for it, but they don't suspend players for it anymore? So what's the point of testing
for it? But they can take your game checks.
Yeah, they just came out before the season. If you test positive for cannabis, over 150 nanograms, which is IOC level that they went to post-X Games. They got to get that X Games money, right?
Sure.
What do you do? Raise the level of THC. That's it, right?
They take game checks.
Yeah, now they said they could take up to 3 game checks. They won't suspend you anymore. So no player's been suspended for marijuana since I had a meeting with the NFL about 2 years ago in L.A., a bunch of other cannabis companies. I was there, part of it, full presentation. And they say, okay, we're not going to suspend anybody anymore. But right before the season this year, they said they could take up to 3 games pay. So you're going to have to go out there and work for free for using something you should be putting in your body, rather than these Toradol shots they're puncturing lungs with and, you know, ruining careers with all these pills. It's crazy.
Jim, first time we had a chance to talk to you. We've interviewed Kyle before, so welcome to the show.
Good to be here.
Do you feel like this is an issue that has gotten better, worse, or stayed the same in the NFL in terms of very liberal administration of pain pills?
Well, I mean, the pain pills, they're still being handed out pretty freely. Supposedly they're keeping track better, but you can still get as many as you want.
Yeah.
That's how it was when we played. You know, everything, you can cure everything with a pill. That was their motto. But like I said, all they do is mask your pain. They don't help you at all. Whereas the cannabis plant... It helps so many different afflictions, you know.
He's still here, man. We're still here. You know, what do we got to do? We got to be part of these statistics. 44 NFL players, 50 and younger, since 2021. Statistic just came out. 44 NFL players over the last year and a half have died. That's just an insane statistic. Over half of those guys would still be here if all they were using was cannabis instead of these pills. 115 people are going to die in America today from prescribed use. And where are we going to? Why are we doing this still?
RevenantMJ.com, by the way, is the website.
That's right.
For more information on what they're doing.
Kyle Turley and Jim McMahon with us. Kyle, a story that I don't know if you've heard. I haven't heard Jim tell it, but I've been told it's true. You could confirm. You went to the White House. Did you, in fact, intend on giving President Obama a thong?
A thong?
What?
You gave him a headband, correct?
I gave him a headband. I don't know about a thong. I don't give away my thongs very often.
That's the running story with some people that I've chatted with from the Bears days back in the 80s.
No, I did have a shirt that I kind of rubbed up on him during our picture. During our team photo with the president, but I probably can't say it on the air here what that t-shirt was.
Okay, fair enough.
He's not in the office anymore.
How are you feeling nowadays?
I know that's probably a loaded question.
Yeah,
you see me in this wheelchair right now. I've been dealing with a bad ankle for the last 15 months. Had a routine surgery, went bad, got infected. Ended up being 3 surgeries, and then they were going to cut off my leg, but they saved that. I'm still dealing with a lot of head issues. I have to go see my doctor in New York about every 4 months to get an adjustment. But other than that, you know, this cannabis has gotten me off all the pills that I was taking, like Kyle was. I was eating them for 6 or 7 years after I retired, and had to get rid of them because you live in a fog. You don't remember a lot. You don't even know what day it is, whether or not it's day or night sometimes, and all the side effects from it. You can't sleep. You can't go to the bathroom. None of that stuff is happening anymore. I've been strictly cannabis. I had to take a couple pain pills last year for the surgery after it got infected. But other than that, I'm just strictly cannabis.
There's a new documentary out about the Baltimore Ravens of 2000, one of the great defenses. And it brings up a lot of talk about the 85 Bears. And they're mentioned in that documentary as well. Jim, does it ever get old being associated with one of the all-time greats? There's not many teams in NFL history you can put a year before the name of that team, and everyone knows the names from that team and remembers them that well. Does that ever get old for you, knowing that you're always associated with that group?
No. I mean, hell, we had a hell of a football team. I was there for 7 years. We were in the playoffs 5 of those 7 years. and probably should have won four or maybe five of those times. I mean, we were that good. It's unfortunate that we didn't play well in the playoffs. You know, we don't have a seven-game playoff series. You got one and done. Yeah. And unfortunately, we didn't play well at home in the playoffs. But we won a hell of a lot of football games in those 5 years, people still talk about it. I mean, hell, we were good. Nobody wanted to play us, that's for sure.
When's the last time you reminisced prior to that season for camp at Wisconsin-Platteville and the stories that came out of there?
Those still pop up every time I get around our guys. That was an interesting training camp place to be. Kyle was up there as well with the Saints. We had a bunch of different NFL teams that were up in that area scrimmaging against each other.
Okay.
During the preseason. But it was kind of nice to have some other teams to go up against because we were fighting with each other for, you know, pretty much every day.
Brutal. That's the old Cheese League. That's what they called it. They had all the teams. The Saints actually were up there in La Crosse. So you had the Saints in La Crosse, Chiefs in River Falls, the Vikings in Mankato, and then the Bears were where?
Platteville.
And so we'd all scrimmage each other during training camp because we were there to bust right away.
See, now that's camp. So you think about spring training for baseball teams. No, they go away, right? That's spring training. But when you think about camp, like you're literally going away and staying in probably, you know, terrible dorms.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dorm rooms with no 100%. Air conditioning. Those little single beds. I don't know. You guys probably slept on the floor.
It's a little
you big
different
guys.
Today. Same. Yeah. A little different today, I feel like, for teams.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then
it's
don't
a
have
cush league.
Issues.
Yeah, they don't even have to put pads on anymore. So. No wonder guys can play till 45.
Yeah, this is the GOAT. You talk about Tom Brady. He would have played under the protections of Tom Brady. Good Lord, he would have a 25-year, 30-year career.
Well, and Trent Dilfer took some heat on the documentary I'm talking about for saying, you know, I love Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, but that's not impressive to me.
Yeah.
And he's talking about the 2000 Ravens, but he's saying, I watch the way you guys hit quarterbacks and guys who would stand in against that. That's impressive to me.
Yeah.
Are you hinting a little bit of that, of the way the game has changed over the years from what you faced?
Well, hell, it'd be nice to know you can step into every throw and not get your knees blown out.
Yeah.
Or get whacked in the head after, you know, you threw the ball and saw the guy catch it and you still get whacked.
Yeah, no hits over the middle.
It's a hell of a lot different.
Right. Oh.
No hits over the middle no more.
Yep. Brady's even admitted this, where the rules are set up to bail a quarterback out for a poor decision.
Yeah.
You put a receiver in harm's way, and if the defender hits you a certain way, you're penalized on defense. And you bail the quarterback out for a poor throw that ends up benefiting the offense.
Yeah, I don't know why anybody want to play defense anymore. I mean, where do you hit a guy?
Yeah.
I mean, our 85 team, nobody would have finished the game. They'd all been thrown out.
Yeah.
I mean, they put so many QBs out that year. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Were you obligated to hate Buddy Ryan since you played offense?
You know, Buddy, for some reason, Buddy always liked me. And he didn't like offensive guys at all. And I think a lot of that had to do with he coached with a guy I played for at BYU. Doug Scoble was our offensive coordinator. And I think him and Buddy coached somewhere in that tree before he got up to the pros. And so Doug Scoble called him after they drafted me. And he told him, hey, this kid could play. And Buddy always, for some reason, treated me well. Played a lot of racquetball with Buddy. Yeah, he was a
really.
I'd spot him 20 and beat him, but he'd be a little pissed.
but
he was a fun guy to be around. If you understood him, you could take him. But man, if he didn't like you, you didn't want to be around him at all.
So he and Dickhead just didn't understand each other.
They did not see the eye to eye. Yeah, we won in spite of them, not because of them.
Yeah.
Chad's trying to take up pickleball.
Yeah,
I've still never played it. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, that's going to be next. Racquetball was fun back in the day.
Paddleball.
If you can spot someone 20 and still win, that's pretty impressive.
I had a racquetball court in my house. I played quite a bit. That's what I did to stay in shape. I didn't run. You know, people always, we had a two-mile run when I first got to Chicago. And I didn't think I was going to be in camp anyway. I was supposed to go to the USFL. And so I came to camp. I was not in shape at all. And the only guy I beat in the two-mile run was Noah Jackson. Remember Noah? It was my left guard. Weighed about 300 pounds. He's the only guy I beat. And I was literally after the second lap, because I hadn't dealt with humidity before in Chicago. I was like, oh, man. What? And I had a towel on my head, and the trainer was, come on, you got to keep going. I'm like, if I got to run 2 miles every game, we're going to get our ass kicked. I said, these guys get paid to block. Man, I shouldn't be having to run.
Jim McMahon.
Shin splints.
Kyle Turley. And check out the website, revenantmj.com. Guys, thank you for joining us.
Good luck with everything.
It. Great first visit. And,
yeah,
Kyle, you're welcome on anytime.
Yeah, man, I really appreciate you guys over the years supporting this message. You know, at the end of the day, we just need them to stop testing. You know, we've had this experience. We're still here. I'm going to be here next year. We're talking about it.
Good.
We're not going to be part of those statistics. You know, so hopefully they get the message, man. We appreciate y'all putting it out there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tell
thank
some more
you.
Stories about Camelot soon, too, up in Chicago.
All right.
Stay tuned. More coming, including LeGarrette Blount, who will join us at our broadcast location here at Radio Row Super Bowl 57. Outkick 360 rolls on. LeGarrette Blount will join us in less than 10 minutes. We welcome you back. Radio Row Super Bowl 57, Outkick 360. Hutton and Withrow and the pro football doc, Dr. David Chow, sits down with us. Good to see you.
Thanks. Good to be in person. It's always better to be in person.
Yeah, man. What a week this is. As well.
Yo, you've been all over the place here on Radio Row. It's always quite the spectacle when you're here.
It is. You know, I come here and I don't set up anything really ahead of time. Obviously, I know you're going to do you guys and have some serious and the Fox thing, but then everything else just rolls.
We saw you on with Ross Tucker earlier.
Oh, yeah. Ross is great. He's a friend and of Sports Injury Central. And, you know, it's just nice to put names with faces and meet people and, you know, and but it's hectic.
What is the biggest injury concern going into Sunday's game?
To me, it is Lane Johnson. It is not Patrick Mahomes, who's going to be 50% healthier. I don't even believe Jalen Hurts is really – he might hurt some, but he's not injured anymore.
He's not on the injury report.
Yeah.
Right?
Doesn't
that factor into what
– Yes, absolutely. But also, if he were really injured, would he be talking about my shoulder's a little sore? No, it's a cat and mouse game. On top of that, yeah, his numbers haven't been fantastic, but he did throw the ball 8 of 11 times in the opening drive, and then Brock Purdy got hurt, and then he dialed it back.
I haven't thought about it that way.
Right? It's the game script between the Giants and this. I'm more worried about Hurts' rust than I am about his injury.
So throwing it more, not running it.
Oh, running it too.
But with the shoulder, does that play a factor in the play call?
I don't think it will or should. And that here we get to Lane Johnson, which I think is the one to watch. He's got a core muscle injury. Very hard to play through that. He's doing a great job. And people would say, well, he stopped Nick Bosa. But did he? The early kick start back, almost offside, smart. Get in, you know, deep into the backfield, a yard deeper than typical in the backfield. Then a couple times you saw Nick Bosa knock him back a couple of yards. And then he stopped because it was a mush rush. Stay in your pass lanes.
The game plan.
Don't let Jalen Hurts escape. You saw Fred Warner never move off of Jalen Hurts in the RPO. They weren't going to let Hurts beat him. And so then Hurts didn't rush the ball. And guess what? In the second half, why would you ever put your quarterback at risk in that game anyways after the injury?
That's right.
So I think it's more game script. But Lane Johnson, there is some worry. That's the biggest worry. He's been doing great. He's not all pro Lane Johnson. Maybe he's Pro Bowl alternate, and that'll be interesting to see. Do they put Chris Jones on him and really bull rush that spot? But if they do, the Eagles have a counter move. Maybe they just hand the ball off up the middle where Chris Jones left. I mean, there's always a counter move. But Lane Johnson's the one to watch. The second one might be Avante Maddox. I think Kadarius Toney will be healthy. People say Avante Maddox played well, but who can't play well against Brock Purdy in that second half when he couldn't throw the ball? And he was in a boot last week. So big toe injury, turf toe, kind of a tough deal.
Let's talk a little bit about Patrick Mahomes. Looked good against Cincinnati, better than I expected. Definitely not 100%. But now given the 2 weeks after getting through that game and even making a play with his legs that ended up winning the game, what do you expect to see from Patrick Mahomes?
He made a play to his right where it's more comfortable, but to the left he couldn't run at all because he couldn't twist off the right ankle. And we talked about it in Outkick. We had his six score at 84. Effectiveness, 84% of usual effectiveness. Well, he was 326 yards, quarterback rating 105.4, two touchdowns, no picks. That's probably 84% of Patrick Mahomes.
It's pretty good. Pretty good 84%.
Right? And look, 100% is 400 yards or four touchdowns or whatever, right? But he's going to be 50% of the way to 100 from where he was with these 2 weeks. He won't be 100. We've raised his six score to 91. Jalen Hurts is still healthier than he is, but he's climbing. And so, look, as it should be, healthy teams move on. For the most part, these have been healthier teams all season.
Brock Purdy reportedly is going to have the surgery. I'm assuming this is the Tommy John surgery we've been discussing with the UCL injury that he suffered. Timetable, Ian Rappaport is saying he's back by training camp. Is that realistic?
Is it possible? I would say yes. Is it guaranteed? Far from it. First of all, the hope is it's a Tommy John ligament repair, not reconstruction. Reconstruction would be 12, 18 months.
Okay.
Yes, he is having a baseball doctor do the surgery. But remember when they first said he needed surgery, I was already questioning if 6 months was a guarantee. Now he's not having the surgery until February 21st, and he's ready for the starter training camp. That's now 5 months timeline. What changed? It's not like the doctor found something that was better. I don't, and here's the thing. I respect the heck out of John Lynch. He's a San Diegan GM, the whole deal. But the 49ers have a quarterback conundrum. They want Brock Purdy, but there's no guarantee he'll be healthy. And even if he is healthy, what happens to the development of a young quarterback who's not there throughout the whole offseason program? Number two quarterback they want is Trey Lance, but there's no guarantee. He's not healthy today, maybe in a month or two, but is there a guarantee his ankle will return to 100%? And they don't want Jimmy G, and he's the only healthy one right now, yeah, ready to go. So it's quite the conundrum. I'm not trying to say they're going to bring in Aaron Rodgers or bring Tom Brady out of retirement, but can they really afford to sit pat when this year's Super Bowl-ready team got submarined by the quarterback position? Are they going to try it again with any question marks? I mean, they got to do something, right?
Yeah.
Or at least some sleepless nights, or keep your fingers crossed that Brock Purdy starts to look good early on after his surgery, which you won't even know till February 21. I mean, I think there's a lot of consideration in that front office. That's all. It's quite a conundrum right now.
Follow Dr. David Chow on social at Pro Football Doc. Read the great work at Outkick as well. Always good to see you. Thank you for the perspective, as always.
Whether it's in Nashville or Arizona or L.A., always good having you.
Always
welcome.
All good.
Thank
you.
One of the best right here. One of our favorite guests over the years, we had the chance to catch up with earlier today. Here is our conversation with a three-time Super Bowl champion, former NFL running back LeGarrette Blount. LeGarrette Blount, our guest on Radio Row. Welcome back, Outkick 360. Welcome back to the show. We had a great visit last year.
I appreciate you guys, man. It's always fun, man. This is my second year on Radio Row, so this is always fun. I'm starting to get used to it.
Are these, do you consider your Eagles are playing for the Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah. They're my boys.
Okay.
That's my squad. Hands down. That's always going to represent them.
You don't consider yourself a Titan? I thought you'd be a Titan forever based on your short time there.
I know, right, man?
That had to be a motivating factor for you, though, in your career.
That was extremely motivating, considering the fact that I initially made the team,
yeah,
and then got cut because, obviously they had needs at special teams. They went and got a linebacker, I think, a special teams linebacker. Mm. And that was the end of my career as a Tennessee Titan. It would have been fun to play with CJ, though.
Three-time Super Bowl champ. Which is your favorite of the three?
Oh, the Philly one. Yeah, hands down.
Because of your impact on that run?
Yes, sir. It was fun. They trusted me, and they believed that I was going to be a big factor and a deciding factor in that game. And me and Deuce had conversations prior to that game that I wanted to be a big factor, and I wanted to be a part of it. Of the success, of the game, and making sure that we put ourselves in the best position to win. I wanted to be a part of that, that was definitely my favorite one.
And then you end up at New England, and you have tons of success there. Brady recently retiring. Your locker was very close to Tom's locker,
yeah, right,
wasn't
next it? To 12, yeah.
What was that like?
Man, it was cool. Man, he's a funny dude. Man, he's a nice guy. Joke with him every day. He's a good dude, man. He's probably one of the only dudes that I know that walk around in a bathrobe in the locker room, bro. So usually it's, no homo, but I'm just saying that, everybody has a towel in their locker,
yeah,
right? It's for you get done practicing or whatever you're going to do. You come in, you get your stuff off, you put your towel on, and you take a shower. That's just routine. And My dog got a real bathrobe. It got 12. It got TB12 on it or something like that.
It looks like Four Seasons walking around like
man,
he's at a resort.
It's his world we living in it.
I love this because Russell Wilson has his own office. Brady had his own bathrobe.
Yeah.
Ain't no more offices for Russell.
No.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you that now. I don't think Sean Payton doing that.
That office is going away. Yeah, I see Brady gonna, in the bathrobe with a newspaper, coffee, legs crossed.
No coffee. No coffee for Brady.
Electrolytes.
Yes. eating his lunch that was prepared at home that he brought to work, like as if he's going to, you know, a 9-to-5, you know, construction working job.
I love it. We talked to Bobby Carpenter on our show regularly, and he was there a short time but said Tom Brady walked up and introduced himself to him. Logan Ryan, same thing. Hey, I know you're our third-round pick. Do you have a similar story about meeting him? Did he approach you first?
Yeah, 100%. He came up to me, shook my hand, was like, hey, LeGarrette, man, we're happy to have you here. You're going to help us out a lot. You know, we're excited about it. You know, you're a really good player, man. So, you know, we're happy to have you. You know, that always feels good coming from someone like him. You know, it feels good coming from anyone on the team, considering the fact that you don't know anyone there. So anybody that would have come up to you and said that is always nice, right? And it being him just makes it obviously a little bit more special because he's noticing my talent.
Throughout your career, has a coach ripped apart a quarterback in practice the way Belichick would do Brady?
Oof. I haven't seen that.
That speaks volumes for everyone else, doesn't it?
Yeah, I have not seen that. Not with Josh Freeman, not with any of the quarterbacks that I've played with. I haven't seen that, man. So,
how does that affect the team when you see Tom Brady getting lit up?
It affects the team in a positive way because it shows you that, you know, no one is exempt from, you know, getting their ass chewed out. You know, no one is exempt from that. Everybody is live when it comes to that. And if you make a mistake, an obvious mistake, or you make the same mistake twice or whatever the case may be, Bill going to be on your ass. It don't matter who it is, you know. So that speaks volume to him.
Well, speaking of Bill, he was on the Let's Go podcast. LeGarrette, I didn't know it was him. His voice sounded so different. When he was talking to Tom Brady as kind of man-to-man, friend-to-friend, right, and talking about his career – we in the media, we hear Bill Belichick at press conferences. Did you get to hear that different tone in his voice at any point playing for him where he sounded different than he does around everyone else?
Oh, yeah. No, I've talked to him and I've had, him have a different conversation for me with me, you know, whether it's the game where I rushed for 160 yards, you know, or whether it was me running, you know, the game where I had a couple kick returns and things like that, you know, he'll bring a different energy to you then. You know, he might still bring a joke with it. You know, it's like, you know, oh, bro, you broke an 80-yard kick return and you only to get caught by the kicker. Or, you know, it's like, you know, it's like, well, dang, bro, you can't score right there. You know, so he's a jokester when he wants to be. Obviously, in the right situation, in the right setting, you know, he can be a funny guy.
LeGarrette Blount, our guest on Outkick 360. What was your initial reaction when you were traded to New England, when Shiano traded you?
I was happy to leave there.
Yeah.
That's for sure. You know, me and him never had a good relationship. He's not one of my favorite people in the world. So, you know, I might have been at 24-Hour Fitness or maybe LA Fitness or something, and I was playing basketball. And I remember some guys telling me, hey, bro, your phone's ringing. I'm like, oh, I ain't worried about that, man. I'll get it after the game. I ain't finna stop the game to answer the phone. And we won. And you obviously, you know, you've been in the gym before.
You win, you stay.
On. Yeah. Right. Keep so playing. We won. And we played again. Yeah. So, you know.
And then you won again, probably, and you kept playing.
Yeah, so for about 45 minutes, he was calling and texting my phone. And I didn't know it was him. So I finally got, you know, we finally lost, you know, me, you know. This is me, not everybody else, you know. When I lose, I'm not trying to wait for 3 or 4 games to play again. I've already played 3 or 4 games. We won them. You know, I'm not finna get cold and wait here 3 or 4 games, have to stretch again and play again. So I finally checked my phone, and I seen it, and I called him back, and I'm like, oh, what's good, coach, da-da-da. He's like, hey, I just wanted to call and let you know we traded you to the New England Patriots, man, da-da-da. I said, okay, appreciate it, hung up. And, you know, that was it. Last time we talked, you know, went to my house. I walked to my crib, which was right across the street. Walked to my crib, you know, called, got on the phone, told my family and stuff, and you started getting ready to go. And with a smile on my face. You know, I had no idea what New England was about. I had no idea what they did. I didn't know what they, you know, what their regimens were or anything like that. I just knew that Bill Belichick was a hard coach. That was all I knew, but I didn't have no problem working hard. I'm not opposed to grinding hard. I'm not opposed to going out there and putting the work in. So that was right up my alley.
Is the mistake made by a guy like Schiano that he can't adjust from college to pro football and he handles things like he would in college? Or is that just simply a personality problem where he's either unable to adjust to the pro game or unwilling, or that's just who he is?
I think that's just who he is. It's probably a personality problem. I mean, he's probably one of those guys that just is stuck in his own ways, right? If it's not working my way, then I'm not going to adjust it to make it work any other way, because my way works. He's to certain people, he's cool, he's awesome. You know, to Doug Martin, that was his guy. He was cool. Praised him, get on his knees, all that good stuff, you know, Doug Martin. But when it came to LeGarrette Blount, it was always like a scolding look, like a, you know what I'm saying? Like a little crazy, like, bro, at the end of the day, bro, we both grown men, right? You don't have to look at me like that anytime you see me. You don't have to talk to me with a lot of disgust in your voice whenever you talk to me.
But, I mean, you expect to get coached, expect to get disrespected at every turn around
exactly.
the facility.
You know what I'm saying? And you know, and we all know what disrespect is versus what coaching is, right? I've been yelled at and screamed at by Bill. I've been yelled at and screamed at by Josh. I've been yelled at and screamed at by Raheem Morris, all these guys. It was different when it came from him. And I felt like it was personal when it came from him. I felt like it was just something against me that he didn't like, or something about me that he didn't like. So I was happy to part ways with that guy. I was really happy to part ways with that guy.
LeGarrette Blount with us, LG's Feel Good CBD. Aaron Rodgers may be using some of this in a darkness retreat that he's going on?
Have you ever gone into a darkness retreat? 4 days? Dark room?
I've actually never heard of a darkness retreat. So that is
sensory deprivation.
Right.
So he's in a small room, and it's like, you know, isolation for 3 or 4 days.
So does he stay in this small room the whole 3 or 4 days?
Yeah.
And he sees not eat. You're supposed to hallucinate, and all these things are supposed to happen.
So
I don't think that's
shrooms?
What's going on with your product, though, right? No hallucinations.
Taking shrooms?
I don't know what he's doing.
Well, how is he hallucinating on his own?
He talked about ayahuasca
last year where he goes on.
What is that?
That's a form. Shrooms is probably a decent comparison. It's like a tea.
Yeah, Chad, tell us about it.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying.
As the drug expert on this show, let me take this. It's like a tea that makes you hallucinate. I think you put it into a tea.
So he's taking hallucinogenics to hallucinate.
Yeah,
and
now
see
he wants to see. Now he wants to see visions based on sensory deprivation, and he thinks the vision is going to tell him what he should do next. Should he just try product instead?
I think he should just try LG's Feel Good, and if that body feel good, go out there and play A-Rod, my guy. Get away from the hallucinogenics, my bro. Don't let that tell you what you should and shouldn't do, because the hallucinogenic might tell you to go jump off a cliff. Hopefully you don't do that.
So this is the roller gel you have right here, right?
Yes, sir. That's the roller. I have pain patches. I have sleep gummies, and I have anxiety drops, all in which are all natural, all organic, and 100% THC free. So A-Rod, you can definitely use this. This was inspired by guys like you, guys like me, and it is for guys like you and guys like me, not limited to us, obviously. It's for everyone in the world, because we want everyone to feel great.
Do us a favor, and next year when we talk to you, we always love these chats, please do the sensory deprivation chamber and come on and let's spend at least 5 minutes talking about what visions you saw. When you did it, please.
If I see visions, it ain't going to be from the sensory deprivation. I'm going to tell you that.
Good to see you.
Appreciate you guys, man.
Yeah,
yes,
man.
Sir. Thank you guys
as
for
always.
Having me on, man. Always a pleasure.
LeGarrette Blount has been our guest here on Radio Row at Super Bowl 57 across the Outkick Network. Wrapping up what's been a solid day one from Radio Row, Super Bowl 57. Glad you're with us across the Outkick Network. Shout out to Chuck for bringing us in and out. To me, the superior.
What a clutch move by Chuck.
Of any of the burger debate, of any of it, Chad, In-N-Out gets it done for me.
Like even, you know, we were so busy throughout the show, even an hour and 15 minutes, hour and a half after he ordered it, still delicious. Like, amazingly, it wasn't even the hottest, but I still loved it. Would have been better had it been a little bit hotter, but it was, you know, beggars can't be choosers here on Radio Row. But, no, kudos to Chuck for going and delivering that for us. He's working with Clay Travis a little bit. So I didn't know that we were going to benefit in this way, where he had to leave.
Well, Clay would have a microwave
on set. Get us food on the way. Yeah.
Right.
Well, Clay's probably got like a Michelin star chef preparing his meals for him somewhere right now. But, hey, I'll take In-N-Out Burger any day of the week over that Michelin star chef. So kudos to Chuck for picking that up for us. Great job by our crew here also. Haley Carania, Corey Taylor doing a terrific work.
And everybody back in the studio as well. A lot of editing and a lot of communication happening today. So shout out to everybody with the Outkick crew.
This is not an easy few days for anyone, but especially
blast,
our crew that's working overtime. But we appreciate them.
What party are we going to?
There's a possibility of a Colin Cowherd party.
Okay.
With his podcast network that we may be attending. Okay. There was something else talking to Clay last night that he had mentioned after that. But I felt like that was like a level up.
Yes.
That we weren't going to reach. If you remember, he even said, Hutton, he's like, hey, I'm going to this Colin Cowherd party tomorrow. You guys should come with me. And then not even 30 minutes later, he said, actually, let me go check it out first and see how exclusive it is. And then I'll shoot you guys a text and let you know if you
can
come.
Exclusive, it's not that we couldn't get in. It's that he wants to keep it exclusive.
Well, he wants to keep it exclusive. And, you know, it's like I shouldn't just show up with, you know, five or six people without before checking out the scene and who all's invited. So who knows? We've done a good job on this trip of not overloading our social calendar and just, you know, letting the chips fall where they may. It's a very laissez-faire attitude by you and I on this Super Bowl trip. Whatever happens, happens.
You know, here for it.
If we have plans, we have plans. If not, not going to worry about it.
Let me pull up tomorrow. Another solid guest list tomorrow. We chatted with Hendon Hooker today. We'll have that tomorrow on the show for sure. But plenty of guests lined up, Chad, throughout the week. And by the end of the week, that's normally where the actors and everything's begin to flow in into town as well.
Speaking of actors, tomorrow we should have actor Chris Davis, who's playing George Foreman.
That's right.
In the movie Big George Foreman. Check out that trailer. It looks terrific. Way better than 80 for Brady. We'll have a conversation with him. It's going to be a big day tomorrow and probably an even bigger day on Friday.
The Hollister twins are going to swing by too tomorrow.
I love that. Anytime you get
Ron
twins.
Ron Jaworski, Brian Urlacher, Tim Brown.
That's a big day.
All on the schedule. Hope you'll join us. We start at 3 o'clock Eastern, both tomorrow and Friday, to get you ready for the big game, Chiefs and Eagles for Super Bowl 57 on Fox. There'll be a lot of breakdowns. We'll give our prediction on Friday. Plenty of news and headlines throughout. We will most likely, among the headlines, break down what Roger Goodell had to say in the full press conference in his state of the NFL today with media members.
We will take copious amounts of notes on everything he had to say.
And then some college hoops reaction.
Yeah.
Some games tonight.
Some college basketball. North Carolina loses last night at Wake Forest. They're going to find a way in, I feel like.
Wake bought that team.
Yeah. Steve Forbes just buying teams left and right, according to Jim Boeheim. And Kentucky loses at home last night to Arkansas in a small surprise. Arkansas, very talented, but they're starting to put it together now. They had a rough start, but now 6-5 in the SEC. We'll talk about all of it.
If you missed portions of today's show, any of the chats, you can go to outkick.com for the podcast, or on YouTube, just search us out. You can download the audio as well. Wherever you download your podcast, just search out Outkick 360. Back at it for the Thursday edition tomorrow, starting at 3 o'clock Eastern.